Okay, now I'm on the good mic.
Okay, can you guys hear me all right?
Hey, yeah. Marty.
Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Good. Let me tempt fate and give you some video here.
Uh-oh.
As messy as I am. I'm playing Mr. Mom this week, so...
What's the music?
Email.
I look like... Ah!
Almost live from across the USA, this is Late Night QRM. Your hosts tonight are Barry J, Barty of the Bartycast, and Michael, the Virtual Youper. Tonight, Happy Earth Day! Facebook buys Instagram for $1 billion. And, oh my God, Michael drops his iPhone. All that and more on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at the plush QRM studios in Southwest New Hampshire. Here's Barry J, Barty, and Michael.
Hey, Barty, how you doing? It's good to see you.
I'm doing pretty good. You know, things are going along pretty well.
You think they got a handle on things now?
Yeah. I mean, you know, like I was telling Barry a little bit earlier before he came on, is that the last hospital stay was only because they wanted to give me medicines that they can't give me at home. They can only give me through an IV, you know. So
right.
They were forced to put me in a hospital to give it to me. And it was like a 30-minute pre-med session and then a six-hour treatment. And that was it, you know. And I was just in the hospital every day just to receive that. And the rest of the time, I was just like kicking back and, you know, just wandering around the place, you know. And it was like five treatments, so it was a five-day stay, and they'll reassess it next week. I got an appointment tomorrow where they'll do more lab work and things, and we'll take it from there and see how things are going. But, you know, I'm feeling pretty good, and everything's going okay. It's just the only one single issue that seems to be sticking in things is my creatinine level. It keeps hitting around 2.3, 2.4, and they want it down to like 1.8, you know, but... I just might be someone that just lives around in the 2-point-something range, you know? Because if everything's going okay, you know, it's not such a bad thing.
Well, they always say that. Because, you know, I'm a quite tall person, and I was talking about blood pressure, and I said, you know, you think maybe because I'm so big that my blood pressure might be a little higher than everybody else's because there's more to travel and pump? And the doctor looked at me and said, no.
No, he's not going to buy that.
I've been talking to a lot of other transplant recipients on the I Hate Dialysis website that I go to, and some of them are the same range as I am, and their doctors are okay with it. So, you know, it's all kind of relative, but I guess it's going to take a while for my doctor to determine just what is my proper range. And she's a type of doctor that has a very high success rate with live donor transplants like I received. And she's the type that tends to err on the side of caution, which I'm not going to argue with at all to any extent, especially with her success rate.
That's a good thing.
So, you know, we'll go along and see how that plays out, you know, as time goes on. You know, so, you know, I don't really have any problem with being cautious. And, you know, I'll jump over whatever hoops I have to make this thing work out best in the long run. But other than the creatinine level, everything else is looking good. You know, my blood pressure has settled down. My blood sugar's a little high, but I think that they're kind of giving that some range because of the medications I'm on and things.
Okay.
And until we can start cutting back on some of the other medications, we're not really going to be able to get a good determination of where my blood sugar really is at. So, but it's still in an acceptable range. You know, it's like in the 200s, but for me it's kind of high because before this I was like in the 130s or so. But you know, they're not really panicking about it, so I'm not going to worry too much about it. And everything is processing good. You know, water goes in, water goes out, and the kidney is just pumping all kinds of stuff out. I'm losing weight, which is kind of surprising because usually on prednisone, most people tend to gain weight because it tends to increase your appetite. Yeah. And I went into this thing at about, well, I was 205 right before the surgery, and it jumped up to like 230, 240 with all the fluids they pumped in me during the just before and during the surgery. Mm-hmm. And I dropped down to like 185 since then. Wow. So, you know, I've lost a lot of weight.
That's quite a
range. Yeah. Yeah, without even really trying, you know, it's... I've just gone back to the normal diet I had when I was on dialysis, which is a low sodium, low sugar diet, and just watching the proteins and things like that, and not eating a lot of fatty foods and things, and it's, I think, just the kidneys has been pumping stuff out of me that the dialysis just couldn't touch. Because, you know, I have shrunk in every part of my body. All my arms, all my limbs, my fingers, everything is smaller than it was when I was on dialysis. And, you know, like I talk to people, I say, you know, that before I was on dialysis, I was dying. And dialysis stopped me from dying, but the new kidney has put me back to living again.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much the way I feel. You know, I feel invigorated. I feel tired a lot because of all the medicine I'm on, but in between that, you know, I'm feeling really, really good. Feeling better than I have like in a year and a half to 2 years.
That's great. Jeez.
Yeah, it's good to hear, Barty.
Yeah. And you know, you were, I guess, yeah, I'm only guessing, but I'm assuming that your body was keeping fluids in constantly with the bad kidneys.
Yeah.
Dialysis can only do so much.
Like 21 inches around.
And it's amazing how much water you can... retain, you know, or fluids you can retain.
And, well, you know, and like I said, it was having an effect because, you know, I was like falling asleep on the way to work when I was driving to work. I would wake up at the last second right before going off the road and get myself back on the road again in the last second just through the grace of God. And, you know, that would happen like 2-3 times a day, and I was like falling asleep at work because I was just so beat up, you know. Once I went on dialysis, that kind of went away. I was more alert, but, you know, I still had a lot of water and toxins in me. You know, that dialysis can only do just so much, right. You know, because it's not, especially the type of dialysis I was doing that was going through the peritoneum sac that's inside your abdomen. Mm-hmm. Mike might know more about that. But, you know, that's what I was doing was fluid exchanges through that, as opposed to, like, hemodialysis, where you have to go to a clinic three days a week for a bunch of hours. You know, you can't work a full-time job doing that.
No,
you were much better off with doing what you were doing, Barty.
Yeah,
well, I'm glad to hear that, because, you know, I was really just trying to maintain my normal life as much as possible, and that was, like, the only way to do it. Mm. And, you know... Looking back, I really wish that I could have been a bit more aggressive about being totally manual, because putting on the cycler, I really think that cycler machine was kind of messing me up, because it's not very precise. There were times that it didn't seem to be draining enough out of me, and it's not smart enough to notice that, you know, I started out with like 2 liters in me, and it only drained 1,400 out, but it insisted upon putting 2 liters back in. And it's like, why can't it decide that since it only took out 14, that it should only put back in 14? You know, and I ended up with an umbilical hernia, and I really think that was because it was forcing too much fluid into me at some times, you know? Because there were times that was awfully uncomfortable, and I felt overfull, but what are you going to do? You know, I mean, the cycle is going to do what it's going to do and follow its programming. Mm-hmm. You know, I felt much more comfortable on weekends when I could just stick to the strictly manual exchanges, you know, because I could control how much went in and I could monitor how much came out. I only put in just what came out, you know, and I felt much better when doing that. But, you know, when I was working a full-time job, it's like, you know, I can't stay up all night long doing exchanges and then try to do exchanges during the day when there's no place in the office place to go do something like that.
Right, yeah. Jeez.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd predicament.
Yeah.
That's behind me.
You're breaking up a little bit now for some reason. Hopefully it'll clear up.
Yeah, I was going to ask if Barty was breaking up on your end there, Barry.
Just a little bit.
How's my audio? Is it hanging in there?
Your audio is fine. Your video is fine.
Okay. So. Yeah, Barty, you're just on the edge of cyloning.
All right. I can pull up the mic a little bit here.
No, it's a bandwidth issue somewhere.
Oh,
are you getting slammed with snow?
No, but I am. I do have my iPad tied into my DirecTV, so I can watch the Kings game that's coming on at 7.
Uh-huh. Oh, there you go.
Well, that's acceptable. We understand.
Because it sounds like it's only coming from you, so I think you're tying up your local.
You're maxing out your Wi-Fi or something.
Yeah, well, the iMac that I'm on and my iPad are both on the same router. I've got a separate router for my Mac Pro and some other equipment.
Hmm. That's not too bad. It's just
it's understandable.
I cut down the feed on the
right on the edge there.
Hmm. Is that better?
No, not yet. It may take some time to figure it out.
Well, the iPad might not want to let go of the bandwidth right away. I can just turn it off.
What, iOS do its own thing? No.
Well, we should probably start this because I have been recording for 11 minutes now.
Okay.
Well, hey, welcome everybody to Late Night QRM show number 47. And from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And this is Barty.
And this is Michael, the virtual Youper from the suburbs of Copper Harbor, playing Mr. Mom this week and pulling his hair out.
And Josh is working on a car, feverishly getting some power steering to work, so he won't be able to join us tonight. So it's the three of us, and boy, let me tell you, there wasn't much tech news this week. I didn't find too many stories that were, jumping out at me, other than like legal mumbo jumbo who really cares,
Yeah.
And happy Earth Day to everybody. It is Earth Day today. What are you doing for Earth Day?
I'm wearing a green shirt.
Trying not to mess up the planet.
Oh, I've got all my lights on in the house. We've got the air conditioning and the heater going at the same time. That's how we celebrate Earth Day.
Oh, we don't really have a whole lot of lights on. We're pretty frugal when it comes to that kind of stuff.
Usually I am, too, except for Earth Day. Because isn't Earth Day in the past where they were saying we had to have an hour of darkness or something? Wasn't that happening?
Yeah, I guess they tried to pull that kind of crap a while ago, but I don't know. Most people don't really bother with that. So, yeah. My wife and I went through and did a dutiful effort to try to change all of our incandescent lights to all those fluorescent bulbs that were so much more expensive.
Yeah.
And, the power here is so unstable that we tended to blow those things at a much faster rate. So I said, screw that. Yeah. We went back to incandescent lights because they're cheaper and they last longer. So, the hell with it.
Well, at least you can get them on this end of the country.
Yeah. I switched over to the fluorescent bulbs, too, all throughout the house. And we've had a couple blow out on us. I am experimenting with one LED light that I have in the my light by my chair down in the family room. And so far, that's the best. Now,
LED lights are awesome.
They're more expensive to buy.
But, oh, yeah.
Once you get them, they'll probably last longer than me. So, at least that's what it says on the side.
Yeah, it's still a little tricky on the color shift for the white ones, but they've gotten a lot better about it. Actually, I don't know if we ever talked about that, but I do have an extensive LED background.
And, really?
Yeah.
Is there a background you aren't familiar with, Michael?
Actually, if you look at my patent portfolio, I'd say over half of them have to do with LED lighting one way or the other.
Really? Well, I noticed my light when it's turned off, the color of it is like this weird yellow. I mean, it's almost like a dark yellow, and I'm like, how is that going to put, white light on? But you turn that thing on, and all of a sudden, the thing turns white, and they do a good job, because actually, it was better than the fluorescent bulbs I used to have in there. So.
Yeah, there is a yellow tinge to them when they're off, and that has to do with, if it's the phosphor-based version. It's actually doing an excitation that winds up with a pseudo-white type, normal light color. But it does a great job. They're really efficient.
Yeah. I would like to go around and actually start replacing everything with those, but that could be a little expensive because I think I got this one for like $20 or something. Wow. So
that's not bad, actually. Those things were coming, when they first hit the consumer market, they were like $100 a piece.
Yeah,
they're like 50 cents for an incandescent bulb. I mean, it's like you got to be kidding me.
Well, but if it lasts forever, and literally it says it costs like 3 cents to run for the year, or something like that. I mean, it was totally ridiculous. Or maybe it's 3 cents a day. What is it? I don't know. It's ridiculously low power on the thing for how bright they get, and they act like regular light bulbs too. So none of these, you know, with the fluorescent ones, you turn them on and they slowly get brighter. And, and the colder it is, the longer it takes. And you got to worry about the hazmat stuff, because we all know, at least at work, we have instructions that if anybody breaks a fluorescent bulb, they basically got to call a hazmat team in because of the mercury.
And everything.
And they got to come in with suits and everything to clean up the fluorescent bulb. And I was like, wow, geez, when I was a kid, we used to play with mercury on our desktops.
And we used to use the fluorescent, the old expended fluorescent tubes as javelins and try to make the dumpster with them. Oh, look at that white powder. Cool.
Yeah, those were the days, I guess. I don't know. So... And as I mentioned, right now, we're going through, I guess they call it a nor'easter, although it's coming from the south. I don't quite understand that, but all the way from like South Carolina up through New England now, there's a storm front coming through, and it's raining nicely here, which is okay because we need it badly here.
Most of the Northeast has been pretty dry. I could use a good soaking to try to cut down on some of the fire threats.
Right, yeah. There was actually a train that I'm getting feedback from somebody.
I'm wearing headsets. It's not me.
Okay. there was actually a train that was going up from Nashua up to Concord or some way. I don't know where it was going, but it was dragging a chain on like the last car. So it was hitting the rails and causing sparks, and it caused 4 brush fires here in New Hampshire. Sparks for this chain.
That's kind of crazy.
Yeah, they were trying to get the train to stop, you know, so they could, take care of the chain off of it. But yeah, it's been really dry here, so we really need this rain. I'm supposed to get a bunch of. Matter of fact, I think there's even flood warnings out for some areas.
So, we got a lot of rain yesterday. It rained all day long and pretty heavy at times. So, I think we got a pretty good soaking. And today hasn't really been too bad. Just some light rain very early in the morning. But it was chilly and windy. But it was nice enough that my wife and I went out for a pretty good walk down the dirt road today. Oh, it was pretty nice. But like I said, it was darn chilly. It was like in the low 40s. But it was nice to be outside wandering around a bit. But yesterday was our rainy day.
Yeah. Well, I was wondering whether you were going to get snow because they were saying that Buffalo way and
stuff. There's a winter storm warning advisories out in the Buffalo area, and it is coming this way. We're supposed to have snow tomorrow morning for our trip down to Syracuse tomorrow. So,
it's fun.
Supposed to be in the 40s, so it shouldn't be too bad. The road should be clear. It should just be messy.
Yeah. Well, hopefully.
Yeah, it's still that time of year.
And what's has anything
especially up here?
Anything hit the Upper Peninsula?
Well, it was snowing last weekend, pretty good actually. After the show on Monday, I guess we had about 3 to 5 inches, and it started out as that freezing rain, and then turned over, which is funny because I had a business trip on Tuesday, and I drove into Wisconsin from here, and now I'm like 300 miles away, and my Jeep was still an icicle. I pulled into the Shell station, and I was just completely coated with ice, and I'm dripping on the pavement, and it's bright and sunny, and everybody's looking at me and looking at the Jeep, and where did you come from? And I said, oh, just from the UP, and they're like, oh, okay. But then Chris drove down this week for her girl's week out, long overdue, which is why I'm in my frantic Mr. Mom mode tonight. But she hit some pretty good snow going down to Wisconsin on Thursday. So it's still happening. And it's been in the upper 30s in the morning here last couple of days. So it's still a little early in the season for us to breathe easily yet.
Uh-oh. You just started to
Did I Cylon?
Just now, you're okay now. He did Cylon for a second.
Okay. And I did leave the state this week on business. And what happens every time I leave the state?
What?
It snows?
What?
Well, no. That every time for the last year that I go out of state, the power goes out up here.
Oh, it did it?
No, it didn't fail. It did fail.
Okay. Oh, jeez. That's
crazy. The locals groan when they know I'm going out of town because it has every single time the power's gone out.
Okay, so maybe I'm being dumb here, but what you had your show note here about your wife being out with the girls weekend. You have 220 to 221, whatever it takes. I'm
did lost. You ever see the movie Mr. Mom? Or talk about Mr. Mom?
I remember the movie, but I don't remember that line.
There's a classic line in there when he's trying to take care of everything and he's working on some electrical stuff and somebody says, "Were you going to rewire that thing for 220? And he goes, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Okay. That makes sense.
So now the kids are a lot easier to take care of. I mean, they're 13 and 15 or 12 and 15. Mm-hmm. And my wife and I, for years, I used to try to set it up so that at least every 3 months she could go out and take a weekend. Actually, she used to come up here and hide, and I would stay with the kids, or I would take the kids up here and leave her back at the farm so that she'd have some time off. But since we've moved up here, we're both working multiple jobs, and I think we've gotten away maybe 3 or 4 times in the 4 years we've been up here. So there's an annual horse fair in Wisconsin in Madison at the capital there, and it's like the gathering of the Midwest for horse people, and she was on the national show circuit for almost 15 years. So this year we got the horse trailer all bundled up and hooked up to the truck, and I made a note about that too. And she went down to see some friends and leave our horse trailer down at the farm where our horses actually are. It makes it easier for them to haul the horses around. But she's just got a week to go out and see friends, and eventually she's going down to see our moms later this week, and then she'll be back up. But in the meantime, I'm Mr. Mom, and the boys are pretty self-sufficient. It's just keeping up with the laundry and everything else, making sure the homework's done and all that necessary stuff. Barty knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah.
But luckily, my boys are running out of the house. I don't have to worry about that crap anymore.
Yeah.
Well, it would be the case for me, except I got a pretty late start. My last was born when I was 40, so they're trying to keep me young, or at least they're trying to keep me tired. I'm not sure which.
A little of both, probably.
Well, we are experiencing a little Skype issues tonight, but they seem to be coming in and out for some reason.
Well, it's probably the video. Let me shut mine down a little bit.
Okay.
See if that helps my audio at all.
Okay, you sound better now, but I didn't see your video disappearing, but your audio was breaking up just a little bit. It was fading into like phone call style. Well, I might as well join you guys then.
Well, let's just see if it helps the audio quality here. Okay. It should.
Yeah, because
it's nice we won't be piling extra bits down the old bandwidth.
Right. Yeah. So,
that made a huge difference with you, Barry.
Did it? Really?
Oh, yeah.
Huh.
Speaking of Barry, those pictures of the foxes that you posted on Facebook are pretty interesting.
Yeah, they're back. Our family is back.
So Anne-Marie is feeding the little things, huh?
Oh, yeah. She did that last year. They first showed up last year, and Anne-Marie was, we buy extra dog food, and she puts some out there, and they always come around dusk. Those pictures were actually, it was pretty dark outside. I was amazed that the Canon picked up the picture the way it did, as much light as it did. The only problem was my shakiness and them moving, because it was taking a very slow picture. So I only got a couple good, fairly decent shots with them, just because of the low light level. But last year, of course, they came around and they had 4 kits, and they used to bring the kits out to play in the field. They were comfortable enough with us that the kids would come out and they'd be wrestling around, and the mom and dad would just be laying out and like sunbathing out in the afternoon sun, and they trusted us enough. But Anne-Marie can actually go out there with food, and they'll run into the woods, But then she'll be sitting there talking to them, and she'll put the food down, and they'll come out. Now, they won't come near her, but they'll kind of circle around her, giving her her distance, and she gives them her distance, and they'll just sit there and wait. And then she walks away, and they'll go in for the food. So we did that all summer long last year and through a lot of the fall. And then they disappeared. And for the winter, so we thought, okay, they've probably moved on. But this week, they started showing up again. At least Mama and Papa are there. I haven't seen any of the kits. So we're wondering whether a new family's going to start this year.
So. That's kind of neat.
Yeah.
Now, we haven't seen any foxes here, but we've seen pretty much everything else.
Yeah, yeah. We have one lone turkey this year. And usually we get a flock of 20 or 30 turkeys, but they seem to be down the road a bit. I've noticed our neighbors are probably about a mile down the road have lots of turkeys there. They haven't made it up this way. Our bear did go through once, but we didn't see him. He came through at night, but the shepherd's hook was bent down, and he's the only one that does
that. He left his calling card for you.
He did that, and he pulls the bird feeder out, the bird feeder we put suet in. And I had to go hunt for that. It was a few feet in the woods. He left it in the woods for us. But I haven't seen him since then. Usually we catch him around dusk or right before dusk, too. He'll show up now and then. But I don't know. So far, nothing. Of course, the dog smell might be keeping him away. So the times we did see him, we didn't have a dog. So sure whether
that's... Right.
Yeah. So yep, nature's back. And, of course, everything's starting to green up here now. The leaves are finally starting to come out, and the grass got cut for the first time this past week. And so we're heading straight into spring now, spring, summertime.
Yeah, around here, we always kind of measure spring or mark spring by the time, basically by the mallards come showing up and mating in the pond. That's always the demarcation. When the mallards are mating in our pond, it's spring.
Oh, that's nice. Jeez.
Yeah. We've got them going on. They keep coming and going and things, and that's always fun. I love watching them swim around.
Yeah, that's neat. Now, do you have leaves on the trees yet, or...? Are they just starting?
No, we just got a lot of buds and things like that.
Okay.
So, but after yesterday's rain, everything is greening up really incredibly.
Yeah, this here, it just like popped. One day it was all like buds. You could see all the red buds, swollen buds and everything. And then all of a sudden it was like the next day, boom, you saw green. So it came on fast. How about you, Michael? What's doing up in the Upper Peninsula?
Well, things were greening up pretty good until it snowed. I got some nice flowers that were coming up in the yard, and they were in 6 inches of snow on Tuesday morning when I was getting ready to leave, and they were not looking too happy.
Ah, jeez.
Hopefully this will put a damper on the black flies, though.
Yeah, they're definitely out. We've had a couple of weeks worth of black flies.
Yeah, those disappeared today when the temperature dropped. Good. Yeah, when it was nice the other day, before the rain came, I went out and collected up a bunch of daffodils for my wife and put them in a vase for her. She really liked that.
Oh, that's neat. Yeah, all our daffodils are up, and we this year. I guess last year we started doing this. We called a service in to do all the mulching and everything because we've got gardens all over the house, and it gets a bit much. I mean, for me to mulch everything, it takes us like 3-4 weekends in a row to get everything out and do it. So we decided to have a service, and of course they come in and work all day, and they dethatch and they mulch and. I sent my lawnmower in for its spring fix-up. Actually, I'm getting a rebuilt engine put on it. He's rebuilding the engine. And that's when the grass decided to say, oh, I need cutting now. So we got those guys to do the first cut this year because it needed to get cut.
Our grass hasn't gotten that way yet.
So, yeah, like I said, it was all of a sudden, because last weekend, if you would ask me, I said, oh, no, we got a couple more weeks before we have to cut this. And then by Thursday, it was like, wow, and even though it's been dry, all of a sudden the grass started growing. So we did have some warm weather, so that's probably what pushed that on. But so they took care of everything. Yeah, my lawnmower, the engine's been leaking oil really bad for the past couple seasons. And
making like an old Harley, huh?
Yeah. And it was coming up the hills, it was huffing and puffing a little bit. So the guy I take it to, he says, well, he goes, you're talking probably about $1,000 to either replace the motor or rebuild it, and it needs a new block. And so I said, well, what do you think? And he was looking at my lawnmower, and he was thinking it was I have a Zero, what do they call it? It's a Toro. But it's not the kind they sell at Home Depot. It was before they put them in Home Depot. They actually cheapened them up when they put them in Home Depot. They sell them for like $2,000. When I bought mine, it was a $4,000 lawnmower. And so he goes, well, he goes, you know, you're talking $1,000, and for another $1,000, you can get. Well, I said, well, remember, mine's not the cheap Toro. I said, mine's kind of like the semi-professional. And he says, oh, well, yeah, because I said, and he even said, with my yard, I either need to get, you know, actually, I should go one better and get the low-end professional model to take care of my yard. And you know, we're talking now in today's dollars, it probably cost me about $7,000. So I said, yeah, you know, if look at the mower, I said, if the rest of the mower is in good shape, which it is, I said, I'd rather pay you $1,000 to rebuild the engine and put a new block on it than go out and spend $7,000 for a new mower. And he's, you know, and he says, well, it'll cost about $1,800 to put a brand new motor on it, and it was like $1,100 to put a new block on it. And I said, let's do the new block because it's going to run just like a new mower. And eventually, this mower is like 10 years old now, so if I get another 5 years out of it, that's good. So
yeah, that sounds pretty sensible.
Yeah. So that's what we're doing. So he's got it, and it'll probably take him a couple of weeks to get that taken care of by the time he gets everything in.
So, Mike, talking about huffing and puffing, it said you mentioned that you've been on the road most of the week. Where you been up to?
Just software meetings. I try to coordinate things so that when I have a break in my medic service, and I do that, or it's supposed to be where I'm working every other week for the medic service. It doesn't work out that way if you follow the past shows. But I pointed it out, guys. You know, this is really how I'm supporting my family. I love the medic work, but I just can't support my family on it. So they finally have hired a couple new medics, and we've gotten scheduled to the point now where I can disappear for a couple days at a time. Because what was happening before is I'd finish a shift, I'd hop in my Jeep, I'd run down, have a couple of meetings, try to catch my breath, and literally drive through the night to get back in time for the next shift. I'd be
rolling
right in.
Where do you go to
for
these meetings?
Nearest place is about 320 miles away.
Holy crap.
And it goes from there. So I do most of my work remotely from up here over the internet, but you got to do design reviews and everything else in person. There's just some things that just don't make sense over a Skype call or over the internet. At least things don't seem to go as efficiently as if you're sitting right in the meeting room with the people and saying, hey, this is what
we're going
to do.
You tried using something like GoToMyPC or any of those kind of utilities? Some of those sound like it could be handy for you.
Yeah, and I'm not opposed to that, but so far I've found that a meeting in person with some of my customers just solves all kinds of headaches. At one of my customers, I'm only in their building maybe 2-3 times a year. But there's a number of people I meet with. So I just make a circuit through Wisconsin, Illinois, and then I stop and see my relatives. So it works out. But I just need a block of time to do that because I'm driving it, and I just put a ton of miles on the Jeep.
Jeez. Well, everybody knows, too, that even meetings isn't where the real work gets done. All the real work and decisions get done in the hallway. So you've got...
And the lunch afterwards.
Yeah, yeah. And matter of fact, we've come up with a term that we're trying to, some of us are trying to work it into our company's vocabulary, see if we can make it stick with some of the upper people. We call it free range engineering. And you have a building that's nothing but hallways and large lunch areas or things like that. And so, and the engineers just to get to walk through the maze of hallways and have meetings and That's
and coffee pots everywhere.
Yeah, coffee pots, yeah, exactly. You know, donuts. If you really want to work, concentrate, work on something, you put a box of donuts out there, and all the engineers come around. So that's free range engineering.
Yep.
Expect to see it in some of the executives' their memos and things coming down from on high. So, wow. So, it's kind of, in a way, it's kind of good. I know you like doing the medical stuff, but it's kind of good for you to get back into the programming stuff. And as you said, that's probably more lucrative for you.
Which is insane because, yeah, I love the medical. I love what I do. But considering the responsibility involved there, for every day of engineering, literally every day of engineering I do, it's probably 3 or 4 24-hour shifts as a medic. Hmm. There's something wrong there.
And plus I checked out the website of your company, and I stop me if I'm going too much, but you really aren't getting away from the medical stuff, and that's kind of interesting. So
they're medical apps.
Yeah. So, you know, you're still doing medical stuff during the day, and actually you can take your experience on the rig and everything and then bring it back to what you're programming and stuff, and I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, and that's part of what our partners really like, is that they realize that there's a medical person there actually writing the apps, and that I understand what the doctors are looking for. So, right.
So
that works out.
Yeah, and you're doing good for people. So that's neat. So, yeah, as Barty said, you know, you should use something like GoToMeeting or something. But, you know, we've been using Skype now, and I noticed you had a note here about the new Skype version.
Well,
I haven't played with it. I downloaded it last week when I upgraded. But I haven't gotten into it enough to see what differences there were. Because, of course, they did an upgrade, which means they moved everything probably.
No, actually, the interface is about the same with one glaring exception. They apparently fixed some bugs, but they introduced one. The little icon on the top of your Mac that tells you by color whether you've set it for, you know, you're there, away, gone, do not disturb, it's black. There's a black check mark up in the top, and no matter what you set it to, it's black.
Really?
Now, it sets the right color.
Yeah.
When you're sending it to somebody else, somebody's looking at me, but your own status indicator when you look at yourself is black.
Okay, you're talking about up actually on the bar up on the actual computer, not in the
right.
app itself. Yeah, I noticed. Right. Yes, I do see that now. Yes, it's black with a check mark.
Aha. Well, you have upgraded.
Yeah, well, I upgraded last week because I upgraded to the better version of Skype, and they said, well, you need to download this. There's a download available. So I did it last week.
What version is that you're at?
Let me see.
Because I'm at 5.6.0.203.
This is 5.7.0.1037.
Right.
All right. Well, tell me when they fix it, and I'll upgrade.
Everything else works fine.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there's a couple of bugs that really get to me. This one is just annoying because I have to check my status to make sure that's really what I think I'm setting it at. Because, there's a couple things about Skype that I could get into, especially the Europeans I deal with trade all of their emails and everything through Skype, which is okay if you only have one device on Skype, because your messages reside on your device. And they do not transmit until both parties involved in the transaction are online at the same time. Huh. So when you think you're sending something and they're, you know, away or not online,
yeah,
it might not actually send until a week or 2 weeks later
until
you're both on at the same time.
Oh, really? So if you're talking about the messaging, like the
right, text, like the instant messaging.
So when it says they're not there, would you like to leave them a message? That doesn't really go through until you're both online.
Right.
Oh, wow, that sucks.
Well, that's kind of dumb.
And when I'm dealing with international time zones, it's gotten to be a real problem.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I'll answer somebody's question, and they don't, you know, they're wondering where the heck my answer is. But a lot of the people I deal with in Europe, in Eastern Europe particularly, don't use email. They use Skype for everything. So it's gotten to be a real headache for me. And that's just Integral and Skype itself. The other issue I've run into is I'm using Skype Phone on my iPhone because we don't have cell coverage here, and it works great, except when you go from cell to cell. So when I go from Wi-Fi section to Wi-Fi section, if I don't go in and refresh the screen manually, it doesn't update who's online and who isn't, and it doesn't update Skype to tell them that, you know, this is where you can find me now.
Oh, really? Oh, that's not good. The only other problem I had with Skype, leaving it on my phone, it would eat my battery. I mean, it would just, like, suck all the energy out of it. So I can't leave it on.
I haven't had that problem, but it might be a 3G thing.
That could be.
Because on Wi-Fi, I don't notice any battery difference. Now, if I remember to go and refresh it, wherever, because, you know, I go through town and I'll go through a half dozen backbones. They're all on the same service. Mm-hmm. So if I remember wherever I stop and I know that I've switched to cell to refresh it, I get the phone calls. Huh. Otherwise, it goes to voice message and I get it. But, so, you know, there are times I get these important voice messages like 5 minutes later when I realize I was there. I was on. It was, you know, it was all set, but it just didn't ring. But it still beats the alternative, because before that, they just flat out couldn't get a hold of me unless they got a hold of me on email or, on a rare occasion, actually caught me at my house.
Wow. Huh. Well, maybe the Microsoft money will help them out.
Well, Microsoft just released Skype 1.0 for Windows Phone today.
Really?
they would take it out of beta on a Sunday.
Well, they've been
just like they released Illumina 900, didn't they, on Easter Sunday?
Yeah, yeah, and supposedly they've got something else coming out, and it's going to be released on a Sunday. I don't understand the Sunday release stuff.
I guess they just want to sneak it in so it doesn't get bombed heavily in the first day.
Yeah,
it could be. Well, I got to say, on the positive side. Well, you know, like I said, I upgraded Skype to the premium edition, and I was using my iPad, and I got an email that says, you've got a voicemail on Skype. And I'm like, really? I don't have voicemail for Skype. But apparently when I upgraded the premium, I get voicemail for Skype, and it was my sister. So, you know.
That's cool.
So I got that and listened to it. And, of course, my sister, not quite computer literate totally, she didn't bother to hang up after she left my message. So then she goes on to the regular phone, and she was talking to my nephew. And I could hear the whole conversation. It was being recorded. She was across the room, but it was like, yeah, I said I stopped listening to it because I felt like I was intruding. but needless to say, today I gave her a call, and I figured, well, I'll call her on Skype, and I did it on the iPad, and it was great. It was, and actually my brother-in-law Frank was there, and he just sat down in a chair, and she's there, and we're using the video and everything, and it was great. It was like, you know, kind of sitting in the room with them, almost. Chatting with them, and you can see their expressions and whatnot, and it's I found it a very pleasant experience, and it worked out well instead of just sitting there talking to her over the phone. And this is the second time we've done it, and we were on for probably a good hour and a half, maybe close to 2 hours, and perfectly clear, crystal clear, no problems whatsoever. So I don't know, Skype, we're back to Skype.
Yeah, it's working pretty good.
Yeah.
I wish I knew somebody that had a Windows phone so I could ask them how Skype works on it.
Well, it didn't until recently.
Well, it had a beta version, evidently. And this is the first actually 1.0 release for Windows Phone that's available today for Windows Phone 7.5 devices.
Hmm. Hey, what's going on with that hockey game?
Well, I shut down the iPad to save bandwidth, so.
Oh, okay.
Well, you're something in the background there.
Oh, yeah, that's the TV in the other room.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
It doesn't sound like the game has started yet. It looks like the Kings game against Vancouver is coming up, and the Kings are on the verge of eliminating the team that got the President's Trophy this year, which is kind of surprising. The number one team getting kicked out by the number eight team.
Oh, that's great.
I say go Kings. You know, they deserve some success, you know, and Vancouver chokes every year, so screw those guys.
Yeah, I know one celebrity, or semi-celebrity, I don't know what you call him, Will Wheaton, he'll be... he'll be glad because I think he's a Kings fan. He always tweets about the Kings game, so he pretty much watches every game. So that'll make him
okay.
Happy. So anyway, while we're on tech stuff, the only really big story that happened this past week was, and it was a surprise kind of to everyone, is that Facebook bought Instagram.
Yeah, I'm not sure what to make of that. I haven't even bothered with Instagram because it didn't really seem like much of a big deal.
I know. $1 billion. $1 billion for Instagram. And I had downloaded Instagram, but I took a look at it again this week, and I said, wow. Yeah. I said, well, so I can take my Canon DSL, 18 megapixel DSL, and snap a picture, and then through the magic of Instagram, I can make it look like a 30-year-old Instamatic picture.
You can take a CPU.
I said, $1 billion. What am I doing wrong?
This was all Zuckerberg, man.
Well, they claim they're not buying it for the pictures.
It's reverberated through our own company.
That was that immediately when it was announced, everybody that was already on Instagram got totally pissed.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody wanted to take their stuff off of Instagram because Facebook bought it. And I was like, really?
Well, I'm getting a little tired of Facebook, too. I mean, I get some of my friends, they think they're, I don't know, they'll do this service. And there's one that's going around that's kind of like LinkedIn, where you can do it for business. But it was like somebody said, "Oh, we want your information for that." And then I clicked on it, and then I read the thing. Of course, you got to, in order to give him the link, you got to agree to these companies. Whatever they want, and
you got to give them free access to all your information,
right? And your entire your friends, and then what happens? All your friends then get email. So I'm like, well, my friends probably weren't even really interested in having me LinkedIn. It was just this company going out and sending these things out in their name, looking for the information. Yeah. And that's happening so much now on Facebook that I'm.
That's why I don't participate with any apps, any groups, or any games on Facebook at all whatsoever.
That's what I do.
I don't give anything, any permission to any of my information.
That's exactly what I do. I'll look at people's stuff. I'll look at their pictures. I'll make comments and things like I'll post pictures so they can see it. But I'm not doing anything with any company related to Facebook because it's just
I'm the same way.
Yeah.
I'll agree with that.
And
there are a couple of groups I belong to, but I'm very selective. Yeah, No Agenda is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with that group too, but you got to be careful again.
Yeah, I always look to see what they're sharing and with who.
I just wish everybody would realize that Google Plus is much better, and they should look at that. Because, of course, then again, you got to worry that Google Plus won't go down the same route, but it just seems like with Facebook, it's just all these companies coming in, and they just want, it's either participate completely and let us have full access to all your data and friends, or don't participate at all.
Well, at least at Google, you don't have one person with 57% of the company making Mark decisions.
Right.
It's close. I know, you got the Larry, but it's not quite the same as Mark.
Right, right.
And he's not public yet. At least Google does have to, account for some of what it's doing.
Yeah, yeah. So I just find it, I don't know. Google Plus is really nice, but there's the only people that are on there, which is okay right now, the only people that are on there are all the nerds and geeks.
Well, I kind of like it better that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
So, yeah. But, so Facebook. And there goes Instagram, even though I really never used it.
And here comes the bubble. And, in an iOS-based company, although we do Android and Windows and everything else, but we're paying close attention because something like this can really screw up the rest of the industry.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Because eventually, right now, everybody, the apps the hardware is new, and so everything's app-based, and therefore, everybody is going for the apps and the whole social media or social contact networking. But yeah, eventually everything gets old, and I think we are starting to see the top, and we're heading over the side. And I don't know what's going to be next, but I don't think we'll ever totally get rid of social networking, but I think people are going to get tired of some of the stuff, because some of the stuff is already disappearing. Like, what's the one? I can't think of the name of it now. It was one of those ones where you go to places and you mark that you've been there.
Foursquare?
Not Foursquare. Foursquare is still around. It was the other one, Gowalla.
Gowalla, yeah, Gowalla, okay.
Oh, I never really bothered with Gowalla.
Yeah.
I never really saw the point.
I never really bothered with Foursquare. It's like, it kind of reminded me of what my dog does when we go for a walk.
Yeah. Pee everywhere?
I've been here. I've been there. I've been here. Sniff, 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 sniff.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I'm mayor of this tree. Oh.
Until the next dog comes and pees on it.
Yeah, I am getting static from something. Is anybody moving things around?
Okay, let me mute my microphone.
Uh-oh. Okay.
That was probably me. I just noticed my XLR connector was about to fall out.
Okay. Ooh,
and is that better?
Yeah.
Checking. 1, 2. Check, check, check.
It's really all of a sudden come in loud on the mixer board. So let me turn that down a little bit. Okay.
Yeah, I went to mute my microphone and the XLR cord fell right out of the back of it. So that might have something to do with it.
Yeah, let me see if I can turn that down a little bit. Boy, we were peeking out here. Okay, sorry. I got it on a limiter. So that should help. Okay, there we go. It's a little bit better. I don't think it's you. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination, because I had issues when it first came up tonight. I only had the left channel going, and I had to reboot the machine. All of a sudden, I got both channels. So,
interesting.
Don't know whether I've got hardware that's starting to give up the ghost here. Like,
time for a new MacBook Pro.
If there are any,
come out with a Retina display.
If they're gonna, oh, MacBook Pro, yes, Mac. I can say the Mac Pro may disappear, they claim.
Yeah, I've been hearing that too.
Yeah, but the MacBook Pro, yes, I'm probably due for one this year. Uh-oh, I heard something.
That is a Keweenaw Amber, Red Jacket Amber. Since I don't have a no-name beer here.
The no-name beer, yes. Actually, it gets better every week. I'm surprised by that. The next brewery, you know, I think is going to be...
The quote of the week, by the way, that I saw.
Yeah.
Now that... why am I drawing a blank? We lost 3 people this week.
Oh, yes. I forgot to put that down. It was Dick Clark was one.
Somebody quoted, so we witnessed the passing of Dick Clark.
Yeah.
We can't bring in a new year. The Mayans had it right after all.
Well, yeah, well played, Mayans, well played. Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, let me put that in the show notes. I forgot about that. Dick Clark passed away.
We lost a member of the band.
Yeah.
Lost Von Helm.
And at work. I was actually a big Men at Work fan, so that wasn't too cool either.
Which one? Who?
Lost one of the members of Men at Work.
Oh, really? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah.
Wow. Because I was a big
cause unknown at this point, at least the last I saw.
Wow. I'm going to have to look up the member of the band. I can't remember his name.
Lee Von Helm.
Okay. How do you spell that?
L-E-V-O-N. H-E-L-M.
H-E-L-M? Okay, leave on. Okay. Is that an M or an N in his first name? It's an N, isn't it? As in Nancy. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll double check. And we don't know who from...
That was Greg Hamm from Men at Work.
You're breaking up
there. He was the flute player.
Really? Wow, that was in almost every song. What was his name?
Greg Hamm. Okay. He was 58.
Wow. Yeah, he was one of the songwriters, too. So Oh, God. It was a pretty integral part of the game there.
Police have established a crime scene, and the local crime investigation unit are attempting to determine a cause of death.
Wow.
Oh.
So two friends found his body when they went looking for him.
Really?
And I guess Detective Senior Sergeant Shane O'Connell said of the death that there are a number of unexplained aspects to which has caused our attendance here today, and we're assisting the local detectives to determine just what has occurred.
Wow. So it's, well, so we don't know what happened. That's, Well, we'll have to listen. I didn't even hear that he passed away. So did that just happen?
Yeah, neither did I.
Huh. And of course, we thought another person was going to pass away, but apparently he came out of his coma was, not Barry Gibb, one of the Gibb brothers. What's his name? And he was in a coma, and he came out of it this weekend. So... God, I can't think of his name. I'll have to look that up, too. Yeah.
I should know, but I'm just drawing a blank tonight.
Yeah.
I call it parental memory. Parental memory syndrome, actually. You can come up with the abbreviation.
Yeah, well, we also kind of realized today that, you know... Both Don Cornelius and Dick Clark both died this year, and it's like, wow, there's no more like music shows, dance shows. they were the two big guys with music dance shows.
Yeah. Well, you know, don't throw a racist. I thought Soul Trek sucked. I just never could get into it. I'm sorry. It might be just my, you know, social orientation, but I just could never get into that show. They always played back-to-back in the markets that I lived in when I was young.
Yeah.
But it just, eh.
Well, I liked American Bandstand better, but...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
It's again...
American Bandstand was always the more mainstream acts, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were like the big top 40 guys and things.
Yeah, but then again, you know, thinking about it, you're sitting there watching a bunch of people dance, so you know it's
But if you weren't far from Philadelphia, you could have been there, especially in the beginning.
Well,
you know?
Yeah, but that was in the 50s. I wasn't born yet. Well, I was born, and I could have gone down there, but you would have seen like a little toddler crawling around the floor. Yeah, that was actually done in the WFIL studios, the Channel 6 studios. I actually saw where they used to have it.
Well, I guess the building's still there, and it's quite a place to visit.
Yeah, well, I don't know whether he ever made it to the round building or not. The Channel 6 studios are pretty unique in Philadelphia because it's a giant round building, and the control center for everything was in the center on the like second or third floor, and then all the studios went around. So they could use one control center for all the different studios. And it was very unique and very modern for the time that they built that. And you can actually, I should go find the link, but you can actually go see the history of them building that building, and they give you a tour inside it and everything. So it was, ahead of its time for back then. So... But, that's where Dick Clark got his start.
Well, I thought he was in a, like a separate radio station type building.
Well, that might have been...
They were showing in the news. It didn't look like a round building at all. It was just a very small little place.
Okay, well, that was probably before they built the round building. Then again, I think he was in Philadelphia in the 50s. And because American Bandstand did go national in the early 60s.
Well, they kind of moved to Hollywood, didn't they, or something?
Yeah, they moved. So, he did get a start locally, but that might have been before the round building. So, but yeah, that's, so I wonder what they're going to call it. I guess they'll just call it, I wonder if it'll become, instead of Dick Clark's Rockin' Eve, it'll be ABC's Rockin' Eve. Or do you think they'll give it over to, what's his name?
Seacrest?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Ryan Seacrest. Rockin' Eve. Well, he's been doing it for the past 5-6 years.
Yeah, I know, but...
And, you know, to be honest, the last couple of years that Dick was there, he was more of a caricature of his former self.
Yeah, he was just there because, you know, to be there. And everybody knows Ryan Seacrest. As a matter of fact, Dick Clark picked him to take over, even before he had the stroke. He was co-hosting it with him for several years. And then, you know, I think it went just as Dick Clark wanted it to go. So somebody's taking their blood pressure, aren't they?
Yeah, it's my time for vitals and medication.
Okay. It's hearing beeps and boops.
It's 8 o'clock standard time. Time for your vitals. Your vitals today brought to you by Pfizer's.
Oh, man. So you good?
It's a little high.
Yeah, that's because you're podcasting. Oh, geez. So the only other news that I found of interest this past week was that IBM has, and I'm going to bring up the story here because it has more details in it. But IBM has demoed the Uber battery, as they call it, and it actually breathes oxygen, and which makes it perform better, and it expels more oxygen. So, but
expels or breathes?
Well, it breathes in oxygen, but it lets out oxygen too. So, in other words, yeah, I was thinking, okay, it takes in oxygen, what's it put out? But it says, oh, it puts out oxygen too. And it's called a lithium air battery. And the good thing about it is that for cars, anyway, for electric cars, they're talking about possible ranges of 500 miles now.
I heard the 500 charge. Aspect. I haven't had a chance to dig into it and look at it yet.
So 500 miles is awesome because that's basically, you know, I go 500 miles and then I have to tank up on my Prius.
That brings it into the realm of a usable vehicle over the course of a day, even for business.
Right. So, and then if you put that kind of battery into a, even you put it into a hybrid, you're talking about you could be running on the battery most of the time and only kick the gas engine in when you, you know, need a little extra power or you need to, your battery's running low. Yeah. So that would be awesome.
Did it say anything about what the cold weather performance of that would be? For people like Michael and I that live in extreme environments?
Yeah, well, I live in a pretty cold area, too. I remember the lowest I've seen it here on my high-low temperature, which was, I think, 3 years ago now, was minus 40. So
yeah, it's low enough.
Let's see. I'm looking for temperature. They don't have anything here. You get in a tank of gas. Yeah, okay. No, they don't have anything here about... nothing about the temperature.
Actually, once you start using that thing, it's going to generate its own heat.
That's true. You may have, maybe slow starting, but and the other thing too is I noticed with my Prius, anyway, they put the batteries on the inside.
Yep.
And because I've got a vent next to the back seat, and that way, as you warm up the car and your heat comes on, it warms up the batteries. So yeah, I don't see anything about the temperature in here, but this is brand new, so. Stay tuned. This would be awesome if they can get this working and out. Once the battery is saturated with oxygen, it reaches the end of its charge, and it must be connected to a power source to recharge. When recharging, it releases the oxygen back into the air, returning the lithium back to its ion state. Okay, so as it's breathing, it sucks in all this oxygen.
And then, that's kind of cool.
And then, when you go recharge it, it releases the oxygen. So you probably want to be in a well ventilated area when you're recharging. Let's push it out pure oxygen. Could be a fire hazard.
Yeah.
If you're in the garage or something, I wonder how much oxygen it actually puts out. Anyway, that's kind of cool.
I'd imagine quite a bit, actually.
Yeah. for something that, you know, can push a car around for 500 miles. It's pretty neat, though. Good, nice new technology. And there's a link in the show notes for it. Now, if they can miniaturize that, can you imagine if they start putting that in, like, laptops and things? That could be interesting. Yeah, I wonder how much they don't talk about using it in anything smaller than a car. This was strictly about using it in a car. But I wonder what kind of output they get, how many hours you would get on a single charge for, like, you know, laptops, iPads, whatnot.
I don't know, but, you know, and I don't even remember the technology, and I should. I do have a battery background, too. Don't laugh. too late. But remember, there were, and probably still are, air-activated hearing aid batteries.
Yes, that you pop the cover off or whatever.
So I'm wondering if it's not that far off chemical process-wise, although I don't believe those were rechargeable, but...
They weren't, and they didn't last very long, from what I understand, but...
Oh, okay.
But because they made a watch that used those batteries, too, and they were rather on the expensive side. I guess the thing was is they didn't know how to recharge them, but it sounds like they've taken that model now, and they figured out how to recharge them, so...
Okay.
So that could be good. All right. Well, anyway, that was the news of the week. It was pretty dull this week. Not much going on.
Yeah, everybody's in shock over Instagram and
yeah. Ooh. So you tried to fix your trailer lights?
Well, I did. I mean, again, I was on the road this week, and I was getting back literally just about in time to wave at my wife as she was heading down the other way. And our horse trailer has been up here for the past 4 years, parked in my neighbor's parking lot. They were sure happy to see it go, but they were very nice about not, you know, bothering us about it. There are other places we can park stuff up here that's kind of out of the way, but for the last 4 years, this horse trailer has had furniture and all kinds of possessions from our house in it. So we really didn't want to park it in the woods. And I was amazed at, considering what it's been through, how watertight that thing is. There wasn't a drop of water damage anywhere inside that trailer after 4 years when we finally opened it up
really?
And started sorting everything out.
Wow.
But it's been sitting for 4 years. And I had repacked the bearings and gotten everything all set before we moved up here. But the tires, even though they had tons of tread left on them, had just gotten into dry rot. So this week, the trailer went down to the mechanic that we trust, because I didn't have time to work on it, who put four tires on it. I bought a lot of tires this year. And they checked it out and said, oh, yeah, everything was greased properly. Everything looks good. The brakes look good. Everything's in good shape. And sent it back to us. And when we dropped it off at them, there wasn't a single light working on it, which... I thought was not a good thing and not normal for us. We're normally good about keeping stuff running.
Yeah.
And they went through everything, cleaned the connectors, said, oh, everything's fine. And we picked it up again, and there was no running lights. Huh. Turn signals work fine. Brakes work fine. Everything looked good, but no running lights. And I said, well, you got it back in the morning. I was talking to my wife. I said, I'll go out there and change the bulbs or fix the lights or whatever it takes. So she's getting herself packed and ready to go on Thursday morning, and I run out here and after getting back late Wednesday night and hook up the trailer, and sure enough, still no running lights. Brake lights work good and turn signals, and it's a decent enough trailer that it actually has a full breakout fuse box in the trailer. So I popped the cover off of that and put the voltmeter on it, and the trailer battery was good, brakes were good, turn signals are good, but no running lights. So I figured, oh, cripe, it's, you know, a dirty connector. So I cleaned the connector a couple times, plugged it into the truck, still nothing. Then I was finally smart enough to think, do I really have trailer lights coming out of the truck? Even though everything looked clean.
Yeah.
So I went and put my voltmeter on the connector on the truck, and sure enough, battery voltage was good.
Huh.
Brake work good, turn signals good, no running lights.
Oh.
Well, the long and short of it is the truck is actually designed for trailering. It's we brought our farm truck up. It's a diesel Cummins Dodge with the trailer package, everything.
Yeah.
And when they did that, and I'm kind of glad they did that because of what I found, they actually have complete separate circuits for all of the lights on the truck, and then a complete separate breakout of circuits for the trailer.
Nice.
So the trailer has its own turn signal activation, its own trailer battery, its own running lights. And the trailer battery was good, and the turn signals are good, and I traced the running lights all the way up to the fuse block, right at the very front where it goes into the relay panel.
Yeah.
And it was reading like 3 volts when the relay was on.
Hmm.
And then I switched the relays out, and I was still getting 3 volts. So I went back and checked, and the long and short of it is the Yahoo, who we bought our high-end, quote-unquote, trailer cap from,
yeah,
when they wired it in, they shorted it out. So they've actually damaged the trailer wiring of the running gear for that trailer by putting this cap on, which is, I don't know if you had time for a story on that, but the cap is literally held on by 3 ratchet straps.
What?
Which I also had to change.
Really?
Okay, I'll get back to that in a second. So then I finally decide that, wait a minute, the trailer actually is fine, and we're bringing it down to a friend who actually has a truck that hauls all the time. So yeah. I just had to figure out how to give her lights for the 340-mile trip down. So I popped the fuse block cover off again, and it's all screw-down terminals. Mm. So I popped the fuse out that brand the running lights to the trailer, so on that end of the fuse block, it was open. Only thing I had that I would trust that would handle the current was an actual house light switch. So I pulled one out of my electrical box, yeah, ran a wire from the trailer battery connector on the fuse block, which has got power, to the running light circuit on the trailer, put the cover back on, and now she actually had a light switch.
But again, that's rather ingenious.
She was street legal. She was fine all the way down. I just said, just remember to turn the switch off when you get down there.
That's funny.
It's a dual battery Dodge. She parks for going to get something to eat or get gas or something. It's not, a couple of running lights aren't going to bother it.
Yeah.
But I just told her, I said, well, you know, I taped the fuse for the circuit to the side of the switch. Just tell the people at the farm to pull the switch back out and throw the fuse in, and they're fine. Mm-hmm. But yeah, this cap has been a problem since day one, and I will neglect to say the name of the company, although they're a high-end company. I got a real lemon with them. I'm thinking about taking pictures and mailing them to them. A couple of years ago, we were just about ready to take our road trip to Las Vegas, if you remember. And as we're getting ready to go, my wife said, the cap's making noise. And I went back there and looked, and something didn't look right. So I don't know what caused me to do it, but it just looked like the sides were kind of bulging out a little bit. So I got inside and just put my back up against the cap and put some pressure on it. Mm-hmm. And the entire fiberglass part of the cap came up right off the rails that were bolted to the bed of the truck. It had completely delaminated itself all the way to the very front. There was nothing. The only thing that was holding that cap on the truck was weight.
Holy cow.
And we were leaving the next day for our family truck vacation to Las Vegas.
Hmm. Yeah. Are you okay?
Yeah. I talked about that. It's been a couple now. So I literally, we were leaving the next day, and it was either just dump the cap, and we were counting on that cap to hold all our luggage and everything as we were making this 600-mile round trip. So I literally, I got in there, and I put door wedges, wood block wedges for leveling doors and windowsills and stuff, put those in there so I could get a gap in, and I threw a ratchet strap from the tie down inside the bed around the outside of the cap, over the top, and back in again.
Hmm.
Did that in 3 spots, and it literally held the cap on, which turned out to be through 70-mile-an-hour winds as we went.
Wow.
But it lasted for a couple of years until this week, as she was getting ready to do this trip, one of the straps snapped.
Oh.
Just UV, wear and everything. And so I said, well, now I'm working on this. And as we're getting the trailer ready, she pops the tailgate down, and the rear window falls out of the cap.
Oh, you're kidding.
And all. Just, well, dunk.
Oh, was it fiberglass? Did it break?
No. Oh. I mean, it's a glass window.
Oh, really?
The cap had spread enough because the strap snapped.
Oh.
Top rivets that held the frame of the window into the cap had all snapped.
Oh, jeez.
So that's the other thing I had to fix quickly before she left. So I was like, oh, crap. Well, we got a couple more ratchet straps. I unhooked the ones that were there, and now the rails, everything just kind of blah, 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 just fell apart. Huh. So I laid everything back where it was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. I propped everything up with blocks, put new straps in. I got the cap centered on the body, strapped it down again with the ratchet straps inside to the cargo clamps, and tightened it down nice and tight. And then I put my shoulder up into the frame of the back window, pushed it up where it was supposed to be, slammed the tailgate shut so it would hold it up. Got my drill out, drilled all new holes for the pop rivets, and pop riveted it all together again. So
wow.
I would just assume toss this whole thing out, but there is just no substitute for having a dry back bed to throw things in, right, especially when traveling.
Yeah, it sounds like you need a new one.
well, that's a couple of grand. And that's what we got invested in the one that's there. That's why I'm not too happy about how it has not lasted.
Yeah.
But so I've got three new cargo straps. That ought to last another 2 years.
A couple of years. Yeah. You know, maybe it'll be time to give up the truck then, you know.
No.
It just broke. It just broke in.
It's got 150,000 miles on it.
Oh, okay.
Jet thing is, that'll last forever. Just that cap has been a pain in the butt.
Jeez. Hey, Marty.
Yeah.
What is this? I didn't notice you stuck it in here. Torvalds. Oh, Torvalds. Yeah, Mr. Linux.
Linus has got another award.
He works for Microsoft.
Just keep giving him more awards for the same thing all the time.
Wow. What did he do?
Nothing.
Oh, he just got an award. Is this the link?
I thought this was funny that, you know, it's like this guy does one thing in his life and people just keep rewarding him for it over and over again.
Yeah, but doesn't he work for Microsoft now? I'm not trying to be funny. I think that's the case. I could be wrong. We'll have to Google that. Consult the Book of Knowledge.
Oh, jeez.
He's out on the West Coast.
Now they're rewarding him for inventing Linux, now that Linux has become the basis of Android smartphones, tablets, and other devices.
Hmm.
Even though he hasn't done anything to have that occur, because of the fact that it is now the basis for all that stuff, they decided to give him another reward. And it says, here, Linus, you're a hell of a guy. Well, I just think it's funny that they just keep awarding him things for something he did back in 2004 or something like that.
Yeah, that's true. Jeez. Is that first link, or are they both those links go to it?
The first link goes to it, and the second one goes to the Microsoft thing.
And I'll correct myself. I don't see any link to Microsoft. I thought he was associated somewhere with the Eagle.
The top one goes to Linus, and the second one goes to Microsoft for to the new Skype release for the Windows Phone.
Okay.
Yeah, but I don't see anything to substantiate what I said there, so I'll take that back right away. But he was doing something on the West Coast that was associated with somebody. I'll have to do some digging for the next show.
Yeah, that would be worthwhile finding out.
There we go. I'm just updating the show notes as we go along here.
And first year of study when he joined the Finnish Army. I've got a story about that. I probably told you about it, but I've actually worked in Helsinki a couple times.
Really?
The second time I was there, one of the guys that I was working with had just gotten out of the Finnish Army, and he looked at me with pride, and he said, yes, the hotel you're staying in above the train station or near the train station is common for the soldiers to stay at. And he looks at me, and his chest swells up, and he goes, and I am proud to tell you we have the largest mobile sauna unit in the world. He was serious. You're like, well, that's a good thing for an army to have.
Do the girls come with it?
I didn't ask.
Okay, now you have a topic here that says, oh my God, and I don't know whether to read that as it happened or IT happened, finally happened.
No, it.
Okay. You never know with this show.
I didn't want to give away too much because... Okay. If I did, you'd figure it out. There's been a recurring theme with me over the years, both as virtual youper on the show and on Late Night QRM, about what eventually happens with my mobile devices.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Nokia came through with flying colors.
Yeah.
Does that give enough of a clue? I was working in my office yesterday and went back out to the garage and leaned over to get something.
Oh, no, the Nokia fell out again.
No.
No.
Nokia's fall and break the floor. There's no longer a Nokia in my pocket.
You mean, what, the iPhone?
The iPhone fell 4 feet to a cement floor.
Yeah.
It bounced a foot off the floor when it hit.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
And my first response. Yeah, my first response was, well, I won't repeat it. My second thought was, well, I wanted a 4S anyhow.
So what happened to it?
Nothing.
Really?
The
Gorilla Glass works.
Well, no. The Belkin case that I bought
for
spent the ridiculous $39 for actually worked.
Wow.
It landed on the corner by the, as you're looking at it, I can see the divot on the case, on the protective case by the right speaker.
Yeah.
You can actually see where it hit, and it landed right on that corner and literally bounced up a foot. And I fully expected, first of all, when I grabbed it, to see the glass broken either on the front or the back.
Yeah.
And when I didn't see that, I was expecting to see that aluminum frayed, dented. Nothing. I don't ever want to repeat it.
Hmm.
I've been very careful. Barty, you probably aren't aware of this, but I have dropped my Nokia dozens of times over the time that I owned it. The last time being I was playing basketball with my sons and hopped up for a jump shot. And the thing literally came out of my pocket and sailed through the air probably 6 feet in the air before it came back down on the asphalt. And parts went all over the place. And I put them all back in, and it still works. That Nokia just keeps going. And it's, well, it was a $400, you know, PDA with voice on it, VoIP on it, which is why I bought it. But my son still uses that thing.
Wow.
I did get an 810, by the way.
Did you?
He's now switched to that.
Hmm.
Speaking of something that runs Linux, he just loves that thing. There's just so much open source software for it. Just so keep loading apps.
You're not going to get the new Nokia.
That was the old Symbian based one. I used to have one of those.
Yeah.
Before I bought my first iPhone, the first smartphone I had was I can't remember the model number. I think it was like a 700 something, but it was a Nokia smartphone running Symbian that did email, and I could hook up to my Gmail with it, and I could hook up to, I think, even my Apple Mail with it, and it was really pretty handy. I liked it a lot.
Hmm.
Well, I've got a Nokia. I believe it's a 770 was their first mini tablet. Then I bought the 800. Actually, I got the 800 first, and I paid retail for it. I was kind of following what Adam Curry was doing back in the Daily Source Code, and I thought, oh, this sounds cool.
Yeah.
And I don't regret it. I beat the crap out of that thing, and I used it. Up here, again, we don't have cell phone service, so I use it as my voice over internet phone with, Gizmo.
Okay.
Voice over IP Gizmo. And it worked great for years.
Yeah.
And then a friend of mine up here got the 810 with the slide-out keyboard, and I was really jealous of him over it. And it got to the point where he got an iPhone and said, well, I don't need this anymore. And he sold it to me for $60, and it was in brand new shape.
Wow.
So, yeah, I've got three different of those tablets, but they all run Linux.
Are you going to get the new Nokia with Windows?
The 900? Well, only if we decide to do it for development project.
I was going to say, it's supposed to be pretty cheap, isn't it?
Well,
as far as expense?
Oh. Yeah, now there's a new version of Skype available for it.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, yeah, it was $100, and then they had a $100 rebate because there was a memory problem with it right away.
Yeah, that's right.
Or you get it for $50 at Walmart and get the $100 rebate, and you were doing it.
Get $50. Here, give me a phone and get $50.
We'll pay you to own this.
Yeah, well, we had a business discussion about that this week, too. It's like, you know, we really should be talking to Microsoft. They're pushing for developers pretty heavy here.
Yeah, they are. They're trying. Well, we did that. We covered that last week. They're trying to pay, Apple iOS developers to
come. Hey, over can to you write website. Code? Come work for us.
Yeah. So that'll be interesting. So, and well, Well, that's good to know. Now, speaking of that, you remind me there was one other bit of news, but it's not really news. It's a rumor that the next iPhone is going to have a what they call a liquid metal back to it. They bought the rights. I don't know if they bought the company, but at least they bought the rights to this product called liquid metal, and it's all how they develop the metal on the back, but it's real thin, real strong, and real light. And they actually make the SIM tool remover tool out of it right now. But the latest rumor is the back of the new iPhone 5 will be made out of this. So goodbye, antenna gate, if that happens.
Or it's going to be worse.
It's going to be worse. I don't know. Yeah, that's what they were saying. So we'll have to see. All the rumors are starting to come out. One rumor is that they're going to announce the iPhone at WWDC, but it probably won't come out until October. So,
depending on WWDC is, which I still, the great Karnak here is predicting that it'll be June 11th through the 15th because that's the worst possible week of the year for me.
Yeah.
So I'm just waiting for the announcement to come out.
They should be announcing it soon.
It'll work out they should. For me. I'm due for a replacement of my BlackBerry in August, late August. Hmm. So, you know, if they come out in June, I'll be good to go.
Hmm. Well, I think the phone's going to come out in October based on Verizon shortening my renewal cycle to October of this year. Just out of the blue, all of a sudden, you're up for a new phone in October. Oh, really?
Huh.
Why is that? Well, you're just up for a new phone in October. Well, it was February. It's interesting.
It'd be hard to wait for another couple of months to get a new phone. Because I am so anxious to get rid of this damn BlackBerry piece of crap.
Well, it's funny because I was on the two-year plan, and last year I have the AT&T upgrade app. They actually make an app and tells you who's available for what. And it said last year when the 4S actually came out that it was available for me as an upgrade. And I said, no, well, I've only had the phone for a year, but I opted to wait because I didn't want to get on the wrong side. I like the turnover side that I'm on, schedule that I'm on. So I'll hopefully this year. The only thing is again, I'll have to wait until October. So, but I can do that. So far, my iPhone 4 is working just fine.
Yeah, you're either on the full cycle or the S cycle.
Right, right. And I don't know, maybe it'd be better to be on the S cycle, but yeah, because all the bugs get worked out by the S cycle. But we'll see. I'm still thinking about getting an Apple TV. I don't know why, but the only reason why I'd get an Apple TV is for AirPlay. Because I can do everything else the Apple TV does on my Xbox and on my Blu-ray thing. But I don't know. For some reason, that AirPlay thing seems pretty interesting.
Well, speaking I do of like
the
it.
Xbox, go ahead, how did Brian. That game night go last Saturday?
Oh, you didn't that listen to awesome. Last week's show.
By the way, my youngest son was on Xbox last night. I was running around. I came back in the house. He goes, yeah, I saw Jash. He was online, but I didn't see any of the rest of you. Well, I didn't think we'd set up a night.
Yeah, Jash was playing again. I saw it last night. I flipped on and I was using the Xbox Live thing on my iPad. And I saw that your son had been on. I checked it. I was up late, so I checked that. And I saw Jash had been on. And actually, I knew Barty was home because I saw that he had been on.
Yeah, I was. I had gotten an email to download a beta version of a upcoming game, a Tom Clancy Future Soldier game, multiplayer right. beta. So I was playing that yesterday. That was a lot of fun.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I thought that was kind of neat. I don't know how the hell I got into that, but it was fun to play.
Huh.
I sucked, but it was fun.
Well, speaking of sucking, if you heard last week's show, you can tell.
No, I haven't had a chance to listen to it yet.
Team Camp.
Oh, you'll have to listen.
Team Camp beat Geezer Patrol. Really bad. And as a matter of fact,
Barty, I would hold myself up in a corner and just wait. And one of the kids would start coming at me, and I would unload two full clips at them, and they would aim and take one shot, and bam, I was out.
And Jess is,
I didn't right? touch him.
Jess's son gave up trying to shoot me. He would follow me around for like 5-10 minutes, and I wouldn't even know it. And so he took to just cutting my throat every time he killed me.
Oh man, that's cold. <Just slashing.
laughs> Yeah, he was just slashing my throat every time. He wouldn't even shoot me. It was, yeah, damn teenagers. Yeah,
I was so sorry to miss that. I was looking forward
well,
to it.
Well, we're going to do another do one, again. Definitely. I'll it was fun. It was really fun. Yeah.
So. I was unfortunately incarcerated again, so yeah. I really couldn't participate.
Right, but we'll definitely, and we'll probably do it soon, too, because that was way too fun. I mean, the time just flew by. It was like, you know, yeah. We started and, you know. Well, you know, just like the podcast, it took us probably about an hour to figure out how to log in and get communications up.
Quite frankly, it was the 12-year-old that set it up.
Yeah. And so we really started playing about 8 o'clock. And before you know it, it's like 11:30. I mean, it was amazing.
I've experienced that.
Yeah. So, and maybe we can get your son in on it, too. If you want,
yeah, I play my son and grandson and I all try to play regularly.
Okay, how old is
we like doing that?
How old your grandson?
It's funny. It's really funny having a 7-year-old telling me, "No, Papa, you got to come over here. Papa, come over here, quick! Too late, Papa." Yeah. It's funny as hell. He says, "Papa, I told you to come over here."
Yeah,
Cameron, I couldn't figure it out.
Yeah, Barty, it was. Oh, probably 90% through the night before I realized I could run. My kids are like, "Well, we ran through that at the beginning of the show with you." And I'm like, yeah, you went through the entire controller in 30 seconds.
Yeah.
Before this, I have turned the Xbox on once when I set up the Ethernet for you.
And I discovered about toward the end of the game that the auto-aim in the regular game you play with the computer doesn't work on the online thing.
Well,
they called it the scope thing. I guess it works as a scope, but it doesn't do the auto aim like it does against a computer. So I'm sitting there trying, you know, seeing people getting the crosshairs close to it and then hitting auto aim because it's just automatic for me. And the thing would just like shoot off over to the left, high and so to the left.
Just alerting everybody where you were.
Yeah, because I'd be firing it. I'm like, I'm firing in the air. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, my oldest son kept earning Patriot missiles and helicopters. Yeah. So, I mean, all of a sudden you're just, what's that?
Everybody would be running to get inside, you know?
My son would be laughing.
Yeah, they had the one game we were playing where you shoot somebody, you start off with a revolver and you shoot somebody and you move up to the next best gun and you basically work your way through guns. After every kill, and but if somebody slashes your throat, you'd go down one level. And so I really like handguns. That's all I can say. Because yeah, I'd get up to the little
hit the broadside of the barn with a handgun.
I'd get somebody and get up to the I'd get up to the next level, which was like a handheld machine gun. And yep. There's Josh's son right there slashing my throat back down to a handgun. Yeah, it was fun. It was fun, though. But yeah, we're old, and we don't have the same agile capabilities as the youngins do.
Well, I'd been up like gajillion hours in a row because I'd worked medic shift before that day.
Yeah,
so I was I was handicapped going into it.
I'm just old and uncoordinated.
Some of the biggest problem I have is I get too involved at watching the graphics.
Yeah.
Some of the graphics are really so nice.
Yeah, you stop paying attention to looking for people or so. Well, I the other thing is I got to
you forget the graphics are trying to kill you.
Well, I got to
yeah, really.
And the other thing,
I also play with a 5-speaker surround sound system.
Yeah, that's so what I was doing.
I've got a lot of sounds around me coming from all different directions. And yeah. Sometimes I just get wrapped up listening to all the noises, you know, it's like really freaking cool.
Well, the other thing I think I decided is next time I play, I gotta sit up closer because I sit like 10, 15 feet away from the TV because I've got a 54-inch or 55-inch TV, so I'm sitting like 10, 15 feet away from it. But I notice yeah, I mean, you can see it from there, and it's great for movies and stuff, but if you're playing a game, you kind of want to be closer where you can actually see detail.
Yeah, I've got a 42-inch that I tend to sit about 5 feet away from.
Yeah, I'm thinking 5 feet's about the optimal.
And I've got, like I said, I've got speakers all around me, so I'm kind of like in the middle of all the speakers, which is like really, really cool, because you know, you hear noises and sounds from all different directions. When a helicopter comes, you can actually hear it coming from behind you to the right, going across in front of you to the left, and things like that.
Right.
You know, and it's like awesome. And you know, I get wrapped up listening to that, thinking it's just really cool that a computer is doing this.
Yeah.
You know. And, you know, of course, the kids, they don't care that it's a computer doing it. To them, it's a game. They want to go kill people. And I'm like, wow, this is pretty cool programming. I wonder how they figured that out.
You know, like I said, our first game was Pong. You know,
yeah,
you're playing something like this. It's freaking amazing. And we thought Pong was amazing, you know, back in the day. So, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to move up a chair. I think I might get one of my outside camping chairs and move it up to about 5 feet away from the screen next time and see if that helps out any. Because I was having problems seeing people in the distance and actually reading some of the stuff.
Yeah, I'm going to buy another headset.
Yeah, you definitely have to do that. So, but that worked out well.
Yeah, it was working good. It's just that my kids had it all the time, so.
Yeah.
I have a second headset.
Definitely. You should be able to get one of those that's right. At your local GameStop.
Yeah,
500 miles away.
No, there is GameStop. It is 100 miles away. Or no, it's a 100-mile round trip.
Okay. Oh, so it's down at the town, the big town.
That kind of brings me into the next subject.
Mm-hmm.
The GameStop is almost right next to one of the ladies who cuts my hair. But the problem is it's a 100-mile round trip.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm $20 in fuel just to get to her doorstep. Mm-hmm. And trying with my schedule, you know, I never know when I'm going to be in town. So if I'm down there, I stop in and see if she's got an opening. And she does, if she has an opening anywhere, especially if I'm on duty, she does try to accommodate me. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, I go a lot longer without haircuts these days than I'm used to. And I'm really starting to look like one of the Uper Mountain men up here. There is
freak flag fly.
I was gonna say, or as I say, I'm beginning to look like a goddamn hippie freak.
Well, you know, and well, they are much more tolerant.
I had to go to the hospital.
Yeah, you were pretty much a goddamn
hippie
freak. There
was a big change in your hairstyle there. I did notice. Yeah. But you know,
well,
they're much more tolerant.
I went to the hospital, I didn't want to have to deal with the long hair because you know you really can't wash it every day in the hospital.
Yeah, it's a little awkward.
Yeah,
but you know. They're more tolerant of medics up here as far as hairstyle is concerned. When I worked in Wisconsin, it was darn near a crew cut, as you were expected, or really, really, really short hair. Huh. Up here, it's like, oh, thank God you know how to use a stethoscope. Come on in. We don't care what you're doing. But, you know, up here in the harbor, we do have one lady who cuts hair.
Mm-hmm.
And she runs a service called Running with Scissors. Really special lady. She just turned 30, and she wasn't aware of the old adage of don't trust anybody over 30, which I thought was kind of funny because she fits this is a multi-talented lady. She has been a bar manager of many of the places up here. She's an author. She just wrote a book called A Little Slice of the Harbor, stories about Copper Harbor, thinly veiled new identities about the goings on. If you saw this lady and listened to her, and she would agree with this, I'm sure, if you talked to her about it. I'm not actually going to say her name, but listen to her for about 5 minutes, and you could just picture her in Haight-Ashbury in the 70s.
Oh, really?
flower child. The way she talks, the way she speaks, her outlook on life. It's about as pleasant. Anyway, there isn't a mean hair on this lady. Very, very pleasant. And I catch up with her occasionally, and she cuts my hair, and she does a great job, but... she's out, you know. She's out riding her bicycle in the woods, and
so it's not a full time job cutting hair for.
Ah, no. Everybody has like many jobs up here. So if I can catch up with her when she's running with scissors, and that's what her business card says, then she'll cut my hair. But in the meantime, I'm looking pretty raggy these days.
Michael, I can solve all your problems with one word.
What?
Flobie.
Now,
sure, that'll work great.
No, those days are gone.
Just attach it to your shop vac. Oh, well. Well, guess what, guys?
I think it's time.
That was the last topic, and we're sitting at about 140, so we should probably wrap this up for another exciting week. You know, we've been going strong here now. We've been hitting this almost every week. I think we've only missed one in the past couple of months, so this is good. That was the one time that Barty was available.
Yeah. I think Barry, I think it was you and I that were fried that night.
Yeah, we were traveling and work and everything, and I was working late. That's right. That was the week I was at work until 11, 12 o'clock at night. So, yeah. Anyway, so, but this is working out good now, and I think it's actually fun. I enjoy this. I look forward to it every Sunday night. So,
well, I'm mainly able to make it because I'm at work right now.
Yeah, but even when you start going back to work, Barty, if you can get in at, even if it's for 15, 20 minutes or something, that's the whole idea. I'd like to see maybe us getting a couple more people involved, even if it's for like 10 or 15 minutes. We'll have to figure out how to do it with Skype. See, Hangout was really good for that because you could just, put them on the list and they could pop in and pop out. The Skype, they're going to have to dial in, or I'm going to have to dial them in or something. I really hope that Google does improve Hangout, because I would like to go back to use that. But right now it's too unsteady. People getting the ding of death, and Barty, yeah. Barty can't even connect for some reason.
I don't know what the hell happened.
It was working fine
for a while, and now it's just dead.
It is funny. I mean, there were a couple of weeks in a row there when you were trying to go on.
We're cheering for you. Come on, Barty.
You hear that go off, and it's like, it's Barty. Come on, Barty. You can do it. And I was like, boom.
Aww.
So, but
yeah, I keep trying and I keep getting the same results because every so often I go over and I try to reinstall the little Google plugin thing and try it to see if it's working, and nope, no love.
No. Well, I'm back to using Chrome again. I don't know, they must have had some kind of, the only problem with Chrome is you never know when they update the thing because it does it in the background, but it's behaving for me again, so I'm back to that, and it is a little bit faster in Firefox, but we'll see. I did get a notification that it's using way too much memory right now.
No kidding.
On the Windows box, thing came up, and I run AVG for virus protection. It came up and said that Chrome's using like 350 megabytes of memory right now. Whatever, so. Anyway, so I guess that'll do it for this week. We do have a musical guest this week. It's Corey Kohler and his song, Why Wait. Got into a little more country western stuff, so we'll have a couple. I'm trying to mix the music up a little bit, but this was a good song. So, and once again, I'd like to say to everybody out there in the military, thanks for what you do, because we couldn't do what we're doing here right now if it wasn't for you people. And
absolutely, thank you.
Yeah, and the guys out, especially overseas, fighting in those or keeping the peace, whatever they're doing right now, over in Afghanistan and I guess pretty much everybody's out of Iraq now, except for some backup troops. I guess I'm sure we're not totally out of there, but anyway, we hope you get home real soon to your family and friends. And with that, I will say, from the southwest corner of New Hampshire, I'm Barry J.
And from central New York, this is Barty.
And from the suburbs of Copper Harbor in the woods, just off the shores of Lake Superior, I'm Michael, the virtual Uber.
And we'll see you next week. Here's Corey Kohler and his song, Why Wait.
The voice inside, I sat him down so I could look him straight in the eye. I asked him why he's knocking. I was knocking at my door, and he said, man, because you're throwing it all away.
Cause I may walk into your job each day to plug yourself in another gear in the machine, leaving your dreams behind to walk down the assembly line of people who tried and now I wear the warning signs. Why wait, yeah, why must you wait? Why must you wait in a sea of sorrow? Why wait, yeah, why must you wait? Why must you wait until tomorrow? You're walking down a dead-end street, chasing those dollar bills for the illusions that they buy. And now you're always worried they're gonna take your toys away when it's those same toys that are wrapping you up in chains. The image eats you up inside, under that tombstone without the chance to plant your seed. You gotta leave them with something to keep them coming back, to keep them smiling when you're buried dead and gone. Why wait, yeah, why must you wait? Why must you wait in a sea of sorrow? Why wait, yeah, why must you wait? Why must you wait until tomorrow? Start living your life today. You can't wait until tomorrow. Those birthday candles, they only burn for so long. Stop dragging your heart and let it lead the way and let it shine on to keep your soul from going blind. Why wait, yeah, why must you wait? Why must you wait in a sea of sorrow? Why wait, yeah, why must you wait? Why must you wait until tomorrow? Start living your life today. Why wait until tomorrow? Why wait?
Samson, speak. Good boy.